From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of one of my favorite adventure, suspense, anthology series, Escape. This broadcast, a CBS broadcast from August 2nd, 1953, and this was one of several episodes of Escape to feature William Conrad, not only as the narrator, but also in the lead role. And this episode will also feature several of his fellow colleagues on another CBS series that was popular at that time, Gunsmoke, including Parley Baer, Georgia Ellis, and John Daner. This episode, Red Forest.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are alone in a giant forest, seeking a way of escape. While around you, gaining with your every step, the relentless enemy, which is fire, is closing in from every side, until there will be only one way out, and that way is death.
So listen now as Escape brings you Anthony Ellis's exciting story, The Red Forest.
The trail had led from a lumber town along a washboard road and into the forests. I'm no woodsman, but in the daylight, I found the place. And then I started back to the car. But something was different. Maybe the tall shadows. There wasn't a trail anymore. Only streams where there hadn't been before. Trees that were the same, but weren't. And sounds. Sounds that, when you were a kid on a hike, were fun. And now they scared you. I'd thrown my last cigarette away 3-4 hours before. And that's when the fire had started. And it was then that I started to run. Run. It was nearly dark when I found the road. I'd come to it about a half a mile below where I'd parked my car. A half hour later, on the outskirts of a little town, my headlights picked up a girl standing by the side of the road. She carried a cheap paper suitcase and she was thumbing a ride. Sure. Put your case in the back.
Oh, yeah. Not many cars on the road tonight.
No. Been walking long?
Uh-huh. On my way to Missoula. My last ride dropped me a mile or so back.
Yeah?
You live around here?
No.
I don't guess you'd be going as far as Missoula.
Sure.
Gee, that's swell. I got a job there starting tomorrow. Kind of broke, if you know what I mean. Buses cost money.
I know what you mean.
Hey, your face.
What?
You've been hurt. You're all scratched up.
Oh, I was hunting. I got lost just the other side of town. If you want to take a nap, it's okay. We've got about 100 miles to go.
Thanks. Gee, it's nice out here. Kind of lonely. Not much of a road. smells good. I wonder what that is over there.
What?
Well, bright, like. See? Could almost be Seattle from a long ways off. I had a boyfriend used to take me driving at night. And when we came back, you could see a glow. Just like that.
I knew what it was. That glow in the sky. It was on our right. And as the road twisted through the trees, it fell behind us. And then to our left. And then circled until it was straight ahead again. The girl had fallen asleep very quickly. I saw her face in the light from the dash. Thin, pretty, and peaceful. It was about 15 minutes after I'd picked her up that I saw the lights on the road, and then closer the figures waving.
Hey, are we there already? I just got to sleep.
No, there's something wrong. There's a cop coming this way. What's the trouble?
Plenty. We want you, mister.
Wait, you want me?
Flyer. Bad one. We gotta have every man we can find. We can use her, too.
Oh, well, look, I'd like to.
Roe!
Okay.
Roe's the forest ranger. He'll explain.
Look, I'm sorry, but I'm on my way to Missoula.
Not tonight, you're not. I've got authority to do this, mister. I'm sorry, but we need you.
But I haven't got
you. You couldn't get much farther anyway. The road's cut off. The mountain's gone up like a torch. If it spreads, there's three towns gonna go, too. Come on, I got some clothes and boots for you.
Hey, what about me? I gotta get to Missoula. I got a job in the morning.
I'm sorry, sister. You got a job serving coffee here.
You cop.
$5 a day.
A day?
Or longer. It depends. Let's go.
There was nothing else to do, so I got into the clothes the ranger gave me and then stood around and waited. I wasn't tired anymore. Just scared. Scared of going into that forest again. The wind came up a bit. And with it, the smell of burning, smell of death. A long way off, but closer than the glow had been, we could see flickering against the sky. And it was in a lot of places. And then suddenly it was too warm and too quiet.
All right, you guys, the telephone's burned out. I've made contact with a shortwave set. Mister, what's your name?
Pindell.
Pindell. Ever use one of these?
What, a walkie-talkie? Yeah, sure. I was in the signal corps.
Okay, you'll carry it. Now, listen. This is bad. It's real bad. The fire's got behind us. We can't get any more men through here for several hours. They've got to come around from the other side. That's 30 miles.
What's the use, then? Let's get out.
Crowbar.
Yeah?
I'm putting you in charge. You know what to do. Get in as close as you can to the river and set a backfire.
Sure.
I've got to stick here with the transmitter. I'll let you know what's happening.
Sure, you stay here with a pretty girl, we go and get fried.
Shut up,
Hanson, you'll have to go with him. Three's not enough.
Sure.
Well, the cop's gonna do some work.
You better take along some food and canteens. Now step on it.
Hi. Got a couple of sandwiches I made up. Here.
Thanks.
This sure is something, isn't it?
Yeah.
You scared?
Scared? Why?
Your face is white. You scared?
I'm from the city.
I know what you mean. Those trees give me the willies, too. Dark.
Yeah, sure, that's it.
You'll be all right.
Listen, kid, if anything happens, you take my car. Here are the keys.
What do you mean?
Well, if I don't come back, keep the car. Here's the registration.
You kidding? You're coming back?
Yeah. Yeah. So long.
Hey, my name's Jan. What's yours?
Wally.
You be careful, Wally.
We went into the forest. Men with spades, men against fire and terror. There was the man they called Fat, 300 pounds of ungainly body topped by a tiny and almost disgustingly childlike face. There was Crowbar, a big, dark man, quiet and filled with a knowledge of the woods. Hansen, the state trooper, thin and wiry, his natty khaki shirt stained with sweat and dirt. And me. We'd gone about a mile when we first heard it. It came in gusts with the wind high above us.
Wait a minute. Oh,
shut up.
Let's get out of here.
About 3 miles, I think. It's coming fast.
We're about that far from the river, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, you guys. If it's crossed the river, we're sunk. Let's get out.
Hey, Wally.
Yeah.
Get Roe. Tell him it's coming this way pretty fast.
Look. Look, sparks up there. Look, see?
Sure, fast. Hello. Sparks, fire. You
Hello.
Sticking?
Oh, Leo.
Pendel calling Roe. Pendel calling Roe. Over.
Roe. This is Roe. Over.
We're still about 3 miles from the river. We can hear it. Over.
You can't backfire now. The wind's changed. You better come back. Over.
Right. He says go back.
That's okay with me, boy. Come on. Gee, listen to that.
I wanted to run again. That same feeling I'd known before. The fear all around us closing in and down. There was no sky above, only blackness, tinged with red, pressing. And behind, the living forest running, overtaking and passing us. When we reached the road again, the sound was steady. But I had a strange feeling of relief when I saw the forest ranger and the girl, Jan. It was like coming home. I think it was then that I stopped being afraid.
Come on, Roe. We can't do no good now.
We gotta try and join up with the others.
What do you mean?
The fire's on three sides of us. That means we head southeast.
Oh, can't we take the road back?
No, it's cut off. There's 200 men trying to keep a path open for us. We've gotta make 5 miles and in a hurry.
Bad as that?
It's worse. If we don't get there in time and they can't make a fire break, we're gonna be smack in the middle and there's not gonna be any way out.
We will return to Escape in just a moment. Lightning may strike more than once in the same place, but it can't begin to compete with man when it comes to starting forest fires. For one fire caused by lightning, supposedly rational humans cause 9 by trifling carelessness with matches, cigarettes, and bonfires. We need our forests for timber, to conserve our water supply, to add beauty to our lives. Let's not burn them up. And now, back to Escape. We didn't carry anything but canteens. It was hot, and because it was hot, it made you thirsty even when you didn't need water. The going was rough, and we could only head in what we thought was the general direction of safety. It was at the ridge that we lost the first man.
Wind's changing again, Crowbar.
Which way?
You can't tell. It's haywire with this fire.
Well, do we go straight ahead?
Might as well.
Wait a minute. You see that ridge?
Yeah.
I'm going up there. Shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. I'll be able to get a better look. Give me the flash. I'll signal to you.
I don't know. We haven't got much of a start. The fire's behind us and a lot faster.
Better than walking toward it. Remember, it's on three sides.
Okay. Make it fast, Crowbar.
Sure.
Good luck.
Thanks. Well, what do we do? Just sit and wait?
That's right.
But listen, you're the ranger. Why don't you go? What'd you send Crowbar for?
He's fought fires before. He knows. He's a better man to climb up there. He's faster than me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Hi.
You okay, kid?
Well, sure, Wally. It's fine. I guess I'm not used to walking, though. These high heels don't help.
Oh, you take it easy.
My feet feel like they did once at a dance I went to. Some big lunk climbed all over me.
I guess you won't have that job in Missoula, huh?
If I get out of this, that's all I care about.
Yeah, it's tough.
Hey, Wally. I'm scared. Give me your hand, will you?
She held on tight to my hand. It wasn't the darkness that frightened her now. There wasn't darkness anymore, but a yellowish red light that came from everywhere. It was another kind of fear. Fear of something you could see, hear, and with every minute feel more and more. We waited there 10 minutes. 11. 12. And then...
You hear something?
Yeah.
Seemed to come from over there.
From the ridge, maybe?
Maybe.
Listen, you think something got crowbar, a lion or something?
I'll go up.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No time. We waited too long.
Well, he may be hurt.
I know that, but it'll take you longer than it took Crowbar to get there. Come on.
No.
You couldn't find him in the dark. Who says he's hurt anyway? We'll move on. He'll catch up.
I say we go after him.
Not me.
All right, put it to a vote. Hurry up, Hansen.
We go on.
Pat?
Let's get out of here.
And I say go on. That leaves you, miss.
I'm staying with Wally.
All right. We'll go with you. We never saw Crowbar again. Maybe a lion got him. Maybe he got lost. We never saw him again. The ranger went ahead, finding trails somehow, keeping us moving. We began to climb. And after a while, we were on another ridge. And for the first time, we could see the fire. It stretched out for miles like a huge red sea. And it was all around us.
Oh, gee, Wally.
Yeah, I know, kid. I know.
Will it hurt much?
I don't know.
Take a breather. I'm going to try the walkie-talkie again.
He's not scared, is he?
I guess not.
Is that because he's a ranger? Because he's very brave.
Jan, you're a funny girl.
No, I'm not. Hey.
What?
Give me a kiss, will you?
Sure. Why did you want me to do that?
I don't know. You're a nice fella. I'll miss you.
Listen, Jan. I want to tell you something.
What?
If we get out, well, maybe...
Yeah.
Look, I'm all right. I mean, maybe we could have fun together.
I know.
Well, I did something wrong once. I killed a man.
Why?
He framed me. He got me put away for something I didn't do. We were driving in the east and ran over a woman. He was at the wheel, but he ran off and left me.
But you didn't do it.
That's what I said, but I'd been drinking and went to sleep. When I woke up, I was behind the wheel. He put me there. And that's how the cops found me. I got 5 years.
Oh.
I was married. I lost my wife, my job, my friends. And I swore I'd get my pal. And I did. He knew I was after him, and he ran. But I caught up with him.
I don't care.
Don't you? I don't know why I told you that. Maybe because if we do get out...
Sure. I know. I know. It's okay.
Come on, Pindell. The ranger's moving off.
It was the state trooper, Hansen. I worried how much he'd heard, but there wasn't time to worry about it then. Roe thought he'd seen a break in the fire, and we headed for it. And when we got down in the trees again, I began to get a feeling that I'd been there before. It was nothing I could recognize, but just a feeling. A couple of 100 yards along, I knew why.
Hold up. There's a shack.
Looks like someone's living there. Better have a look.
The door's open.
Hey.
Man.
Give me a hand here.
Sure.
He's been shot.
Yeah, a few hours ago from the looks of it.
You think the man who did this might have started it?
Well, what do you mean?
The fire. started a few miles north of here, we figured somebody got careless with a match. But maybe it was the killer running away.
I'd like to get the fellow who did that. Maybe I will.
Me too. Well, we can't do anything here. Come on.
From there on, nobody talked. It was hard enough to lift your feet. Jan was nearly through. I have carried her. If Roe knew where he was leading us, he didn't say. We followed and knew that sooner or later we'd stop because we were too tired to go on. That was the first.
Wait a minute.
You've got to go on. There's still a chance.
Oh, rest. Just for a minute.
No.
Please rest. No, please. 1 minute. That's all.
Get up.
Oh, I can't. I can't.
Okay, you stay here.
No. No, no.
Well, then come on.
But I can't.
Well, I'm sorry. Let's catch up to it. Stay on the train.
No.
Come on, Chan.
We're going to leave him.
We have to.
No! Don't leave me! The fire's not coming! There's me! This way!
Can we help him?
Oh, we're almost dead ourselves.
Oh, God! There's me, please! My name is free!
I don't know whether it was because none of us liked him or because we knew that we couldn't do anything. Funny how you can lose a man and know he's gonna die, and you put him out of your mind. Perhaps we wanted to live so badly we figured the fire would take time out from us to attend to Fat. Hansen was next.
I've finished.
No, you're not. Just a little farther to go. We can still get through.
No. No, you go ahead. Save the girl.
I'm sorry, Hansen. I wish.
No, no, go on. Maybe I can catch up. But I gotta rest. You, Wally, do me a favor.
What?
I lost my gun somewhere. You know what I mean. It'll be quicker that way. You got one?
Yeah.
Thanks. One bullet fired, eh? That's what I wanted to know. Okay, Tyndall. I've had enough rest. I can keep up with you now. I feel a little safer with this on me. All right, go ahead. I'll walk behind you.
He knew what I'd done. But I didn't care now. It wasn't important anymore. Right now, all I wanted to do was get Jan out of this.
How was that?
He was behind us. It sounded like Hansen.
Come on. Come on, but watch that ravine.
He must have fallen.
We gotta help him.
There's no time.
We got to.
Oh, he didn't help Fat. Why him?
I don't know. Please.
All right. All right, stay here. Hansen! Hansen!
Down here!
But keep calling!
Okay.
Oh,
my leg.
Can you get up?
It's broken, I guess.
Hansen, you know about me, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I heard you telling the girl.
She won't say anything.
No, I guess not.
The fella had it coming to him. Well,
I wouldn't know. I'm a cop.
Yeah.
It's getting hot.
Smoke. Here. Put your arm over my shoulder.
No, you can't get me up there.
Well, I can try. There, come on.
No good. We can't make it.
I'll get Roe. I'll come back.
No, there's no time. Go on. Get out of here.
But I...
Go on. I got your gun. Nobody will ever know. That's not stopping. Like, get out of here.
Somehow I made it up the trail again. I thought I heard a shot. Or maybe it was a burning tree going down. Jan was waiting for me. We caught up with Roe and went on until the trees began to thin out. And we heard the shots of men. But I don't remember anything else. Because I passed out for a long time. When I woke up, Jan was sitting by my bed, and it was cool again.
Hi.
Jan. Jan, did they get Hansen out?
No.
No. Listen, Jan, about what I told you back there. You know, the man I killed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sorry. I mean, it was all right about him, but... Not Hansen, Crowbar, and Fat. That was my fault, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to call the cops.
No.
Now, listen, I've been dreaming about it. It's no good. Now, be a good kid and call the cops.
I don't have to. They're outside in the corridor.
Now, what do you mean?
Roe sent for them. You told what you did while you were unconscious.
I told... Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad.
You want me to hang around?
Well, that's up to you, I guess.
I guess it is. I'll hang around.
Escape has brought you The Red Forest, written and directed by Anthony Ellis, starring William Conrad as Wally and Georgia Ellis as Jan. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, John Daner, Jay Novello, and Tom Tully. The special music for Escape was composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week...
You are in a lighthouse off the steaming coast of French Guinea, while around you... Frightful in its fury, a nightmare of terror and violence is closing in on you. A nightmare from which there is no escape.
So listen next week when, by popular request, Escape repeats one of its most unusual stories, Three Skeleton Key by Georges Toudouze. Those favorites of millions, yours truly, Johnny Dollar and Mr. and Mrs. North, make for highly exciting listening on as Johnny prowls the world for adventure and the Norths meet murder merrily. Now, most of these same stations also bring you 21st Precinct, great stories based on the world's largest police department. Consider this an invitation to excitement and adventure Tuesdays on CBS Radio. This is George Walsh speaking. And remember, Gene Herschel stars as kindly Dr. Christian every Wednesday evening on the CBS Radio Network.
Escape. On the Upstate Radio Theater, William Conrad, our star. That CBS broadcast from August 2nd, 1953, Red Forest. As I said, you are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of old-time radio coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, you can do so by email. The address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit our blog and website, where you'll find much more info about the show, and also this and previous episodes available for listening and download. qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is program number 1609. We'll wrap up the hour with an episode of a syndicated transcription series from the mid-1930s, Ports of Call. Each episode took us, through the magic of radio and the theater of the mind, to a far-off exotic land, and oftentimes they would dramatize key historic events in that country. And keep in mind that some of the descriptions and depictions used in this program represent some of the standards that were held by most people in the mid-1930s. We don't have specific dates for these episodes, but we believe that they were produced during 1935 and 36, respectively. And on this episode, we will be transported to New Zealand.
Ports of Call. Blue horizons far at the world's end, strange, fascinating lands beckon us, bid us revel in their exotic splendors. Come with us as we head for Ports of Call. Southern Cross jewels the sky like four clustered diamonds. Curving sea lanes stretch eastward, paths of adventure for the square riggers, brigs, and barkentines of an age long past. The soft lilt of the sea croons its siren song and draws us to the South Pacific, to islands of emerald and sapphire rimmed by blue ocean. New Zealand is the name given to our magic islands by the Amsterdam mapmakers. New Zealand, long, bright land in the sea. The harbor at Auckland, Mecca for tramp steamers, salt-crusted freighters, white, burnished liners from San Francisco. As we round the North Head, the Queen City of Auckland gleams before us, a teeming metropolis whose suburbs stretch for miles along the tooth-like waterfront. We dock at Queen's Wharf and leave the bustling harbor to travel southward. On our way, we pass through a wild country haunted by native Maori legend. The ghosts of gods and warriors live almost forgotten in the shaded glens and shadowy mountains. But of all the gods that were once worshipped by the primitive Maori, the most popular was that amiable culprit, Maui. It was Maui who accidentally created the islands of New Zealand when one day he approached his two sleeping brothers.
Brothers! Brothers!
What is it, Maui?
Yes, can't you see we're sleeping? Raise your bones from the mat. Today we go fishing.
Oh, what of it? We fish every day.
Let me sleep.
Pop, before I cudgel your brains out.
All right, all right.
Carry the canoe. Today we paddle far into the sea. I'm sick and tired of fishing in shallow water. We'll search for deep water today.
But you caught a great shark only 2 days ago.
A shark? What's a shark to a hero like Maui? I'm a god, and I want to catch something befitting a god, something big. Put the canoe in the ocean. That's it. Well, I'll sit in the middle.
Here's your paddle, Maui.
Paddle? I want no paddle. Why do I have two brothers?
His eyes are flashing fire. You'd better not make him angry.
No, I suppose not. It's a vile task, being brother to a god. Sometimes
stroke,
I wish...
Stroke, brothers, stroke! Waste no time!
How far must we go?
To deep water. It may be a long journey. I can't tell. Stir your bones, stroke faster. Faster! 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 Is that all the better you can do?
Oh, Maui, we've been paddling for 3 days.
Yes, and I'm good and tired.
Well, then stop. Perhaps the water is deep here. I'll throw out my line. There.
Well, aren't you going to bait it?
No, I haven't any bait.
After bringing him all this way, he hasn't any bait.
I don't need it. I have a magic hook made from my grandmother's jawbone. It is set with shell pearl. Oh, see how it flashes.
But what good is it without any bait?
Now, I prick my finger... Rub the hook with a smear of blood. Then I cast it. So. And I wait.
Maui. You've got something. Pull. Pull it in.
No, Maui. Let go. Let go. You'll overturn the canoe. You'll drown us.
The water. Look at it. It's boiling. Frothing. Let go, Maui. You can never land a fish like...
Watch me, brothers. I'll pull in the biggest fish you ever saw. Watch. Watch.
Look. Look at us. Instead of having a fish in our boat, the boat's on top of the fish.
It's not a fish. It's an island. Maui, you've dragged up an island.
So I did.
Now, what are you going to do with that?
There ought to be some use for it. It's a rather pretty island. Perhaps I'll stay here.
Oh, why?
Well, if it were inhabited by the right kind of mortals and ruled over by a great god like Maui, I think this island would turn out to be a very enjoyable place.
And so today, the North Island of New Zealand is called Te Ika a Maui, the fish of Maui. The Maoris made all nature their god when they launched their big war canoes and migrated to New Zealand. Trees, volcanoes, mountaintops, all were made the basis of some fearful or amusing legend. But now the native drums beckon us east to Poverty Bay. Poverty Bay was named by Captain Cook in 1769, and on these shores the first bloody skirmish took place between Maori natives and Englishmen. Then, on these same shores, nearly 100 years later, an incident took place that was to bring the fierce civil wars to a dramatic climax. The scene is a tiny British garrison near Gisborne. Seated at a table flanked by 2 stiff-backed British soldiers is Major John Biggs. Before him, 3 red feathers stuck jauntily in his dark hair, stands Te Kuti, a broad-shouldered native warrior.
Te Kuti.
Yes, Major Biggs.
During the last battle with the Maori, you were in communication with the enemy. Is that true?
No.
You're a native, but you've sworn to fight with the Queen's soldiers. Do you believe that the British cause is just?
If I did not believe it, would I fight against my own people?
No, but you might play the spy.
Spy?
You know what a spy is, Te Kuti. You know that to give military information to the enemy is the work of a traitor. And you also know what we do with traitors.
I am no spy. I am a great warrior. And I am also a prophet. I see into the days to come. That is why I fight with the British. You are strong. My people have no weapons. They must submit to your queen. I have seen it many times in my dreams.
It's unfortunate, Te Kuti, but you've been suspected of being a spy, and we cannot risk having you in our ranks. Therefore, it's my duty to send you to Chatham Island for a period of 2 years.
Chatham Island?
It's the prison colony.
Why, Why must I go to prison?
You'll be well treated.
I am no traitor. I am a warrior.
And the ship is waiting in the harbor. There are other prisoners to go with you.
I will not go. This is my country, my land.
Men, take him to the ship.
Major Biggs, let me stay. Let me die fighting as a warrior should. I am no traitor.
Come along, come along.
Off with you.
Let go of me. I am a warrior. A Maori.
This is war, Tecute. When the strife between natives and white men is over, you may return to Poverty Bay.
And I will return. But it shall be for vengeance. You shall answer to me for this insult. You shall pay. Tecute will not forget. He sees far into the future. The land will be plunged in more blood. It will seep into the soil, mingle with the salt of the sea. I am a prophet. I know. Two years I have been imprisoned on this island, far from my native land. And you, my countrymen, you are all in the same plight.
There will be no release.
We shall stay here forever.
Death would be better.
Yes.
What can we do?
Nothing.
Tecute, you are a holy man. You can see into the future. What will happen to us?
Tara, my friend and countryman, the gods tell me that we must escape.
But how?
I have a plan. Gather close. I will tell you.
Yes, tell us.
What is the plan?
Anchored close to the shore of this island is a British schooner. At night, it is almost unguarded. We can steal several of the small boats that lie tied to the wharf. And tomorrow night, when the tide is high, we shall roll alongside the schooner. Row up close to the ship, men. Very silently. We must not fear.
Look, there is the night watch. He's gazing over the side.
Silence, Terra. Closer. Closer. Here. Grasp hold of the ladder.
I have it.
Climb up very quietly, men. I shall go first. Pounce on the watchman. Seize his gun. Rest will be easy.
I'll follow you.
Careful. The watchman is looking toward the water. But the night is dark. He sees nothing.
Up, Tecute. We are behind you.
Here. What's this?
Up, men! Up! He sees us!
Mike! Help! We're being boarded! Help!
Take his gun. Seize it when my fingers are around his throat.
I have it.
No. Do not waste ammunition. Strike him with the stock.
I will.
Well done. The ship is ours!
Death to the British! Death! Fire!
Several months later, at the home of Major Biggs near Poverty Bay, it is late at night as his wife enters the front room.
John, dear, aren't you coming to bed?
Yes, in a few minutes. I want to read this letter once more. Special messenger just brought it from Colonel Whitmore.
Is it bad news?
I'm afraid so. There's been nothing but bad news since Tecute seized that British schooner and escaped from Chatham Island. He's organized a large band of natives. Oh, they regard him almost as a god.
You're hiding something from me.
Yes, I am. Darling, I'm sending you and our son back to Auckland on the next boat.
Why?
The natives have been dancing the haka for the last month. That means war. There'll be danger.
I'm not afraid. Tecute wouldn't dare attack Poverty Bay.
I know what's in that crafty mind of his. I believe he thinks I've wronged him. And this is the first place he'll come. For that reason, you must go to Auckland.
But I wouldn't leave you, dear. I couldn't think of going.
Oh, we'll talk it over in the morning. Good night, dear.
Good night, John. Don't stay up too late.
Tecute will strike here first. I'm sure of it. But we'll be ready for him when he comes. I'll write a letter to the colonel tomorrow. We'll need reinforcements. Who is it? Who's at the door? Who's there? What do you want? Wait! Stop or I'll call the guard!
Good Lord!
It is I, Major Biggs. Tecute. I told you I would return.
You'll be hanged for
this. No, I shall die in battle. but not until I have driven the British from the land of my people. My warriors are everywhere, and you and your family will be the first to taste of my vengeance.
I am mad. You wouldn't do a thing like that.
No? Have you forgotten what you did to me? I have risked everything for this moment. The moment when I should lift my gun, point it at your round, smooth face, and...
Tecute! No! No!
John! John!
The gods are good. I am avenged. From this day on, my life shall be devoted to ridding my country of Englishmen. I shall die in glory, in battle, and the name of Tecote shall live forever.
For the next 2 years, Tecute became a symbol of terror throughout New Zealand. But time erases all memories. And 20 years later, an officer of the Crown enters a shambling native hut and inquires,
"Where is Tecute, the warrior?"
"I am Tecute. My beard is white, but my heart is strong. I will not be taken captive, soldier."
"No danger of that."
"But I am a fierce warrior. England fears me, and I hate England."
"England isn't afraid of you any longer. You've been pardoned."
"Pardoned?"
"Yes."
"A pardon? That is no way for a warrior to die, taking mercy from others. If only I could have perished in battle, fighting, slashing the cries of my followers, ringing gloriously in my ears. But now...
You're lucky you weren't hanged. Well, here's your pardon, old man. Live the rest of your life in peace."
"Old man, hardly. Pardon."
In spite of his crimes, Tecute died in drab respectability. Old, faded, and broken. The war drums beat no more in New Zealand. Maori and Englishmen lived together in perfect harmony and understanding. From Poverty Bay, we go to the capital city of Wellington, at the tip of the North Island. We shall travel through Cook Strait and Tasman Bay, places named for the famous English and Dutch explorers. And on our way, the prow of our ship veers through a narrow slit of water called French Pass. It was in this pass that not so long ago, travelers were treated to a strange sight. Standing on the forecastle head of a small packet bound for Nelson is a young woman. She is talking to the captain of the vessel.
"Captain Kane? Captain?"
"Yes, what is it, miss?"
"Look over the bow. There's a huge fish swimming around down there. It looks like a whale."
"Sure, it is a species of whale. That's Pelorus Jack."
"Pelorus Jack?"
"He's a dolphin and a fine one, too. I've seen him many times. He leads almost every boat through the pass."
"I've never seen anything like it, the way he dives in the spray. He seems to be enjoying himself."
He is. Sometimes he even rubs his back against the side of the ship. He's the pet of all New Zealand. They say that in the old days, the ship didn't need to pilot through this pass. All she had to do was follow Pelorus Jack."
"He's pretty, isn't he? His creamy sides flashing in the sparkle of the water. He's diving, and now he's coming up."
"Hey, listen to the old boy grunt. Sounds like a big, happy pig. Too bad if anything ever happened to him."
"Well, what could happen to him?"
"Well, there are a lot of whaling ships around here. Someday old Pelorus Jack's liable to have a harpoon stuck in his midriff."
"Oh, that would be terrible."
"But still, he's pretty smart. They say that once a ship rammed into him, he never forgot it. Never led that ship through the channel again."
"It would be too bad if he were killed."
"Parliament makes a lot of laws. Somebody ought to make a law to protect the big fella. There'll never be another dolphin like Pelorus Jack."
"Members of Parliament, the bill I am about to propose is a special legislation for the protection of New Zealand's most prominent inhabitant. I allude to that remarkable dolphin, Pelorus Jack." "You may laugh, gentlemen, but tourists come from far and wide to see this famous animal. Therefore, for his safety and for our mutual satisfaction, I propose a special act of Parliament protecting Pelorus Jack from the many whaling vessels, domestic and foreign, which frequent our coasts. Thus, we shall guarantee his safety and security as long as he may live.
The bill passed Parliament and was the first law in history for the special protection of a whale. In spite of this law, Pelorus Jack disappeared from the New Zealand coast. But there is a chance that Pelorus Jack may have died of old age, for the natives claim that he had been frequenting the same waters for 275 years. Traveling along the west coast of the South Island, we see the long chain of glittering Alps which overlook the sea. And farther to the southeast, we find Otago, a province of rolling hills and meadows, a land of great herds and crops of golden grain. It was here that in the year 1861, a great discovery was made by the Scottish inhabitants.
Meg! Meg!
I'm right here, David, and you don't need to be shouting and a-skirling.
Meg, look! Look what I have in my hand.
Oh, a handful of dirt.
No, tis not dirt. Tis gold.
Gold?
Aye, pure gold. Gabriel Reed gave it to me. He panned out 25 pounds worth of gold in 10 hours. There's riches in this soil. Why should we Scots be raising sheep when there's gold under our very foot?
David, didn't you be telling me you're thinking of looking for gold?
Aye, and why not?
Because we're doing fine as we are. Since we come from Scotland, we've been extremely prosperous. There's 100 hoggies in the meadow right now. Almost ready for the shearing.
Bother the hoggies. There's no sheep raiser I am from now on. I'm leaving for Tua Pika in the morning.
David, you cannot go.
Don't worry, Meg. When I come back, I'll be rich. Rich, I tell you. Rich.
And my David's been gone for 3 long months, Reverend McAllister. 3 months.
Tis the curse of creation, this gold. The whole town of Dunedin is mad for it.
How's your congregation, Farron?
There is no congregation. There is not a man left in the parish, save me and the precentor.
Do you believe it's evil to search for gold, Reverend?
Evil? Meg Morris, 'tis an iniquity that will not be forgot for generations.
Do you feel the urge to go yourself sometimes?
I? Nay, not I. I am a minister of the gospel, and the Lord does not bless them who cares for naught but worldly wealth.
Ah, you're a good man, Reverend. Would that my David was like you.
I tell ye, Meg, the people have forgotten the teachings of the good book. The men folk should be home, taking care of their families. This gold will be the ruin of New Zealand. And it is not because that I'm a minister of the gospel that I won't go...
Meg!
Oh, tis David. David, you're back.
Darling, my Meg, tis good to see you.
And David, my husband, you'll not leave me again.
Never again.
I'm glad ye see the error of your ways, David. Welcome home.
Thank you, Reverend. Oh, Meg, I have a surprise for you. Look here. I told you we'd be rich.
Oh.
What's in yon bag?
Gold. Fine glittering gold, enough to make us rich for life.
Why, it is, Reverend. It is gold.
Aye, gold. Where did you find it, David?
Over by Tua Pika. There's rich fields of it. You dig it out of the earth, like turnips.
Over by Tua Pika? Like turnips, eh?
Aye, turnips.
If I wasn't a religious man... you say there's plenty of it?
Aye, it is yours for the digging.
Well, the Lord put the gold in the ground... I vow he won't mind if 'tis dug up, eh?
That's exactly what I was thinking, Reverend.
I knew ye'd say things my way, David. Well, I fancy
Reverend,
I'll be...
will you not stay for tea?
Thank ye. I'll be going.
Perhaps to the fields of Tua Pika, Reverend?
Aye, David, maybe.
As the worthy Scotch farmers of Otago began to flock to the gold fields, they were joined by fortune hunters of every race and creed. Before long, 30,000 settlers poured into New Zealand in a gold rush equal to the American days of 49. Today, there are still rich mines in the South Island. But New Zealand is principally an agricultural country, producing a wealth of wool, meat, and dairy products. But ahead of us lies adventure, the whaling station of Kaikoura. It was here in the bygone days that men and ships pursued the warm-blooded monsters of the deep. Let's board an old four-master and see what happens when the lookout shouts,
"The ship below!"
Down go the boats, men jammed in side by side. On they go, backs straining, oars clipping the frothy sea. Above the creak of oars comes the yelping, rasping voice of the headman.
There he goes, and there he breaches! Give way, lads! Give way in the hull! Make her spin! How? Pull where the squall lasts!
Oars bend, foam flies from the bows. The headman shouts again as the huge black body slides out of the water, flips its broad tail, and plunges head down into the sea. The boat shoots onward, over a scum of seething foam where the monster last appeared. A black towel looms from the water. There is a crisp command.
Stand up, Jack! Stand up!
The strongest of the men peaks his oar, places one leg in a notch in the prow, lifts the long harpoon from its crotch.
Give it to him!
The harpoon darts through the air. The long line whips, sings, burns hot as it hisses round and round the loggerhead. Then with a jerking, rending smash, the boat leaps along the ruffled sea, tearing high ridges of foam from the boiling ocean. Men sit tensely, arms folded. The man on the prow grips a small hatchet, ready to cut the line. But the line quivers, sings like a bowstring as the whale heads for the horizon, towing its human cargo. At last the whale becomes exhausted, stops to rest. This is the moment. A slicing fin rolls from the water, and a second lance flies to a vital spot. Dart after dart thuds into the tiny black hide. The whale writhes, twists, rolls. White jet shoots from the spiracle. More darts fly from the longboat, bringing a piercing message of death to the Leviathan. Oars flash. The headman stands up straight.
Pull up! Close to! Pull, men! Pull!
The last lance strikes. The whale wallows in his own trough. Flukes slapping. Spout hole contracting, expanding. There's a sharp puff of crimson, and then...
We got him, men! He's done for!
The chase is over!
The old gods, the old legends are fast vanishing, and the most primitive race of the South Seas has become the most civilized. And so, as we return to Auckland and board our ship to seek other ports, we bear with us memories of a country in which the fresh tang of the South Seas is blended with the quiet breath of old England. New Zealand, with its mighty kauri trees standing beside English willows, white-clad glaciers melting into a Scottish countryside. New Zealand, where lonely pagan gods haunt the dark mountainsides and stare down wonderingly at English church tops. But now, as the sea surges and the Southern Cross twinkles above our masthead, we bid goodbye to New Zealand, to Awa Te Aroa, the long, bright land.
Ports of Call, a syndicated transcription series from the mid-1930s. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Tune in again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.